You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. To the Gunner's house. Yeah, sitting in his kitchen. Granbury, Texas. So welcome to his house. The expeditionary version of All Marine Radio. And it's working too. Who thought? Yeah, so we'll get on the road here in a little bit. And so tomorrow's version of the program. Gonna do a little experiment. See how it works. You know, you have some interesting conversations when you're driving, especially when you're with somebody like Mike, also known as the Gunner. So we're gonna see how that works out as the world goes by with Mac and the Gunner. we'll see how that works. We'll see how that works. Greetings from Granbury, Texas. You've heard about it? No. All Marine Radio makes its first official stop here in the great state of Texas at the Gunner's house, as it should be, as it should be. So a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So let's see, flew to LAX yesterday morning, flew into Dallas, Fort Worth, and Mike and I were talking. I mean, that's if you were served in the military, you served in Iraq and Afghanistan, that's a airport with a lot of memories. I didn't even think about it till I walked off the plane and you're in that airport and you're going, oh wow, I remember this. And I didn't fly through there until my third deployment, and that was to Afghanistan. And when I came home on leave, and you know, it's obviously a long flight, you're excited to get off the plane. And, you know, you're taxiing up to the terminal. And they had two fire trucks out there. And they had an American, I want to say that they had an American flag that was hung off the fire trucks and is a big flag. And then they fired up a water cannon as we taxied to the airport, as we taxied towards the gate. And it's pretty cool. You know, you're like, what is that? Never seen that before. And, you know, just recognition of, you know, welcome to Dallas-Fort Worth. And it was awesome. So you're, and then what happened, like, you're still in your uniform from the flight over with a flight full of other people either coming home or going on leave. Dallas is kind of the hub that you come to. Dallas, or I think the other one was Atlanta. And then you get off and you're supposed to change out of your uniform. And you were going to fly home. And so so you get off the plane and you got to make your connection flight. And then, but we were kind of sequestered in one gate, kind of one terminal. And you walk down the concourse and there's nobody in it for security reasons. And then come down this kind of glass encased walkway. And you see all these people looking at you from down below, and then, you know, you see, you know, they're stopping and they're applauding. Now, they made commercials out of that, but I wasn't in a commercial. I was just coming home, and all of a sudden, you know, it stops you, and you're like, holy shit, and it's just, you're in an airport, and then you come out of that, you come out of this class, causeway down, I think a flight steps or a ramp, and there's people on both sides of the ramp, and they just stopped, and they're just clapping, you know, and they're saying things like, welcome home, welcome home, welcome home. Yeah, so yesterday, kind of go down that road with members, and, you know, I can't tell you how touching that is, just out of the blue. You know, good people. And again, these are some of them were from Dallas and had come out specifically because they knew when our flight was coming in. And it probably comes in at approximately the same time every day. And these were people that were in the airport that were walking by and just stopped. And some of them, a few of them were USO people. But it was awesome. Absolutely positively awesome. So yesterday, walking through the airport, those memories, you know, come back. They come back to you. And very cool memories. And again, I something that I thought about yesterday, how do you know you're a genius? Okay, let me tell you how I know that I'm a genius, or at least a borderline genius. I might not be a straight-up genius, but I might be, a borderline genius. When I've made the point that what you see on TV, on the nightly news, and all that craziness is not the United States, it's not the United States, okay? What I just described to you is the United States. And that scene repeated itself. If you ever watched the movie Taking Chance about a Marine who escorts a body from Dover, Delaware, to Montana, through Philadelphia, through the Twin Cities, and then the Twin Cities, they fly in Northwest Airlines, so it goes into the northwest part of the country to a lot of places. They fly into some, I don't know, Billings or something like that, and then it's a four-hour drive. And the movie is spawned by an editorial or a piece that the guy... and I need to get him on All Marine Radio, but the guy who escorted Lance Corporal Phelps' body home, and he hadn't been to Iraq, and Phelps was from his hometown in Colorado, so he thought he was going to, you know, escort the body back to Colorado, and then after he said, oh, hey, I want to do this, he finds out that he's going to Montana. So he writes this long article, and it's a long article, about his experience moving through the country with Lance Corporal Phelps's casket. And the things he saw from passengers when they were asked to stay in their seats as his casket was removed from the aircraft. Things he saw from what baggage handlers and airport personnel. Things he saw from people that were driving behind the hearse that took his body to the funeral home where the funeral was going to be. And so this article gets turned into a movie. And Lance Corporal Phelps, I was then General Mattis's staff sec. I used to take care of the Marines that were in General Mattis's personal security detail as well as General Kelly's. So I used to help the aides out, run the personal security details. And so Lance Corporal Phelps was in General Kelly's personal security detail, and a guy, a lieutenant by the name of Dan Robertson, was Phelps's platoon commander. And so he sent me an email a year or so later, and he said, "Hey, you won't believe this, but somebody's interested in HBO's interested in making a movie about Lance Corporal Phelps." I was like, "What?" And so, yeah. And so he talked about, and in the movie, there's the part of the movie towards the end, they mention Lieutenant Robertson's letter to the Phelps family. And that's Dan Robertson. He's a good dude, still doing good things in the country. But, so I say that, right, about what you see on the nightly news is just a slipped up version of Jerry Springer. And then you go through the United States and you realize how right you are. Not that I ever thought I was wrong, because I know that to be a fact. Because when you live in small town America, that's just life. Taking care of people in your community, helping strangers, it's the way you go through life. And so, anyway, going through the airport, landing here in Dallas, and then, just being, you can imagine, Mike giving me the tour of Texas, right? Oh, my God. The Texas Department of Touristry should have recorded it and said, "Here, you don't need anything else. All we do is talk trash about Texas the whole way. Oh, Mac, look at this. This is how we do it in Texas." I'm like, "Dude, why do you keep saying we? You're not from here. You're like a newbie. I don't think you get to say we until you've been here for at least a decade." Showed up in his cowboy hat, at the airport. Yeah. So, no. So then we went to see Buck, right? Buck emails the program on a, I won't say a regular basis, but on an occasional basis when he's pissed about something. Buck's custom boots. So we pulled in and we were talking about Buck's once, and I had I'd looked it up on Google Earth, right, on Street View. So we're driving and Mike pulls in the parking lot. I said Buck's. He's like, "How do you know?" "How do you know?" I said, "Hell, I've seen this place before." And so we walked in, and I love stuff like that, right? So Buck builds custom boots. If you can't tell by the name of the store. And so essentially a leathersmith, right? But he's got these really cool, powerful sewing machines, and I like to sew. Yeah. And so, he does some incredible stuff with leather and the custom stuff that he does. He says that he does about 1.5 to 2 pair of boots a month. So he said, I do a lot of repairs, and then I'll get probably about 2 pair of boots, between 1.5 and 2 pair of boots. I said, really? He said, yep. He said, if you want a pair of boots from me, he said, it'll be a year right now before you get them. I said, wow, business is good. And so he's showing me the different machines in his boot shop. I'm fascinated by machinery and how it does what it does and whatnot. For instance, the machine that sews your heel together, right? That creates your heel out of a series of pieces of leather, right? Punches through all that and sews it and creates your heel. That's a pretty interesting looking machine. So anyway, I hung out at Bucks for a little bit. Mike had to leave. He had to come home and get dinner ready because he's the woman of the house. Yeah, Tina works now again. And so actually just started a new job yesterday. So anyway, then we came over here and had dinner, and I got a chance to meet Mike's friends who he invited over. So Ron, Ralph, Buck, yeah, all the boys came over. And what's interesting is you'll hear from the Gunner later talking about how, you know, they chose this place and what he specifically was looking for. And I asked him, do you have any advice for people relative to when they retire? And he talked about what he knew that he wanted. And so you'll get a chance to hear from him. But I will tell you, if when you look at his friends, and, you know, you can, I mean, Mike's home here, you can tell. These are his kind of people, and you can tell how much they enjoy each other. So it was very cool last night having dinner here with all their friends. So awesome, awesome stuff. But you'll hear from him here in a little bit. I'll tell you what we're going to do on the show today. In the second hour, the military retirement system is going to change. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. There's a couple audio clips that explain the basics. And me being a former broker at Merrill Lynch, yeah, back in a different life. Yeah, that's what I thought I was. Can you imagine? That's what I thought I was going to do in my life. I wasn't really interested in it, though. I had to get a degree. Got my degree in economics. So I did that. And I got my degree in economics because I had taken a class. I liked history. So I took a class called Economic History in junior college. One of the best teachers I've ever had in my life, Bing Howell. And so the way he taught economic history made it fascinating. It's not as interesting as all that. So then I thought, well, if I want to understand economic history, I probably should understand economics. If that's what makes countries go, then that's why I need to understand that, right? Right. So I went to the University of San Diego, declared my major to be economics, and then promptly had to take about a semester of math classes that I hadn't taken. Right, statistics on statistics too, stuff like that. Anyway, and then you get into the theory of economics. And I think it was actually a great exercise for my brain for a couple of years. How to model, how to vary the model, understanding the limits of the model. And I think that helped me a lot later in life relative to problem solving. Yeah, I didn't see barriers that other people see. I don't see them. I just see a model. And I don't see why we can't adjust the barrier. I don't care what the barrier is. Move it. Eliminate it. So anyway, I got out of college. My dad knew a guy that lived in La Jolla, California. His name is John McCarthy. He had some friends at Merrill Lynch. So he picked up the phone and called him. Said I was looking for work. Where were they hiring? And they said, well, we're hiring for a new operations center up in Los Angeles. Okay. So I go interview. The guy I interview with played football at North Carolina. I played football at the University of San Diego. So we started talking about football, and I thought this job interview is going pretty well if we're talking football this much. And so he hired me, and he said, look, we don't have your spot ready here right now, but I have a need for somebody to work at our store at our branch up in Encino in the San Fernando Valley. So you have Los Angeles, and then there's the mountains that kind of run from Hollywood, and then if you go towards the water, it's kind of Hollywood. It's kind of Beverly Hills is in those hills, Westwood, Bel Air, Brentwood, Pacific Palisades, and then the water and Malibu. So that's how those mountains, you go over those mountains as you're headed north and you drop into the San Fernando Valley. That's where Universal City is, home of Universal Studios. That's where Burbank is, home of NBC. So a lot of entertainment up in the valley. And then as you go to the west, you have places like Sherman Oaks, Encino, where Michael Jackson lived. Yeah, big time stuff, man. And then you head out towards, towards Santa Barbara, the further west you go, and Ventura County. So, so I went to work there. And, I started out as a bookkeeper. I took it, somebody was failing a test that Merrill Lynch had them fail after they'd showed up. And so they weren't going to have them go down and take the Series 7 test, which makes you a stockbroker. So they told me, hey, Mac, there's only 28 days. You're not going to have enough to study for it. But if you want to go down and take it, you know, we know you want to be a broker, so we don't want to waste a seat. We've already paid for it. So have at it. So for 28 days, I got off work and went home and studied. The good thing was I knew the economics piece wasn't an issue for me. The economic history piece wasn't an issue for me. And then the thing that gives a lot of guys problems on the test was the math behind, you know, stockbroker stuff, buying, settling dates, stuff like that. Well, that was my job. I was a bookkeeper when I got there. So I knew all that. And so I passed it. And they were like, what? And when I was 23, I looked like I was 19. So it's like, yeah, well, now what do we do with them? So, but they did. They created a job for me. I was a licensed broker, and I was good because I genuinely tried to help people. I just didn't try to take their money and move it so that I could make commission. So I was a good broker. I didn't make that much money, but I was a good broker. I did the right thing for people, which sometimes got me in trouble, and which is how I knew I wasn't going to be long for that field. Now, that whole industry has changed now, from commission-based brokerage to you get a fee for how much money you manage. And so whether you turn it over isn't so much important. Back in the day, the only way you made money is if you turned it over. So, you know, so I would look at your portfolio and I would see that, hey, Mike and Tina, they're pretty well invested. And I don't need to move their stuff. That's not the way it used to be. You used to look at it and say, okay, let me tell you, I think we need to tweak your portfolio a little bit now that I'm going to take it over. And here's my recommendations. And then, okay, so I just made $6,000 off moving their investments, and we'll move some probably every year, so I'll now be able to count that into my income. So there's my income going up $6,000, and I'm not going to move all their money every year, but I'll move probably about 50% of it every year, so I can count on $3,000. That's how I build my annual salary. So anyway, I didn't like it. Marines went to Lebanon, and I remember, I've told the story, but I remember reading that a Marine captain stopped an Israeli tank that was cutting through its position, stopped it with his pistol, stood in front of it and pointed the pistol at him, said, you're not coming through here, get out of here. And I thought, you know what, that's what men do. What am I doing here? And with that, boom, McNamara joins the Marine Corps. Doesn't know shit about the Marine Corps. Never had a family member serve in it, never had a friend serve in it. McNamara joins the Marine Corps. Went down, this is my local recruiter, He asked me, do you want to fly this jet, an F-18? What kind of kid says no to that? So I signed up as an aviation contract and then left for OCS in late August of 1983. So anyway, but again, that background has always served me in good stead. I toyed with going back to work for Merrill Lynch. Actually kind of went to work for them for a few months. What I wanted to do was combine, interestingly enough, I wanted to combine my radio show with doing securities business. So, I do my radio show, and then a portion of it I would devote to the markets, market reports and whatnot. And Merrill Lynch said, and that was, that's what I pitched when I got hired. And then they ran that up the pole, and somebody in New York City said, yeah, we're not. What is this guy, Howard Stern? No. Howard Stern, believe it or not, doesn't play that well in North Dakota. Okay? So, and Minnesota. So, no, that's not really the gig. But they said no, and so I went off and did other things. But so today you'll be the beneficiary of some of that. Not a whole lot, because what we're talking about here in the new retirement system called the blended retirement system is a choice whether, if you've been in less than 12 years, should you opt into the blended system or should you stay in the current system, the old system, if you will. People joining after January 1, 2018, they don't have a choice. And if you've been in over 12 years, you don't have a choice either. You're in the old system. So, but that's a fairly large chunk of the DOD. And here's a statistic that we'll talk about again, but 81% of members of the DOD do not get a retirement. 81% of people that serve do not get a retirement. So, that's not, I had no idea what that number was. Yeah, so what the blended system does is, as you'll hear in about an hour, what the blended system does is it seeks to create kind of a 401k fund that you can access when you're 59 and a half. And so, anyway, we'll talk about all that kind of stuff. All right, so with that said, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official this morning. Good morning to you from Granbury, Texas. Dedicated to everybody I met last night here at Mike's home. Wonderful people, Mike's friends here in Granbury, Texas. Ron, Ralph, Buck, their spouses, just an awesome group of people. And a wonderful night last night at Mike's house. So this is dedicated to all them and their hospitality.
Merchant Marine Corps! You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And oh, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. We got to win.
Check the weather around Marineland. Not going to lie to you, I'm more concerned about the southern part of the country today, since we're driving through it. But I don't really know why I should be too concerned about it. Like, what do I care? I'm going to be in the truck with Mike, so I'm going to be in jail. Cloudy in 72 in Quantico this morning. With a weather advisory, it is raining in 76 at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. It is cloudy in 76 in Granbury, Texas. It was 80 was the high yesterday here in the Dallas-Fort Worth-Granbury area. Just so you know, yeah, it was pretty mild. I was expecting it to be hot, given the temperature the last couple weeks, but it was not. Clear, dark, and 56 in Big Timber, Montana. 29 Palms. It's going to be hot though today, because the overnight low is 89 degrees. So it's dark and cloudy right now. And 89, yikes. Camp Pendleton, clear, dark, and 67. Okinawa, Japan, pretty typical, except they have some weather going through there. Dark, cloudy in 84. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, 106 in the middle of the day, so pretty mild day in Afghanistan. In the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, where I am not right now, but I'll give the temperature anyway. It is clear, dark, 71 degrees, which means it's going to be warm in Costa Mesa. Looking for a high today of 87 degrees, about 5 degrees warmer than we're looking for. So 87 degrees today, 84 tomorrow, and 83 on Thursday. So that is a look at your weather. When we come back, we will go ahead and take a look at the news headlines of the day. So whatever you do, put that dot. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives. FiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. They're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Take a seat, rattle the desk, sat on the stairs, say you leave. The cabinet's a bed, and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I know we have good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go. Oh, baby, why don't you just meet me? I'm losing mine just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle. Baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing mine just a little.
It's never in the middle either. Come on, we know that. If she could meet you in the middle, you'd be all about it. She's going to meet you about, what, 30% there? And then she's going to sell you that she's the 70. Unbelievable. I don't know why God set it up like that, but brutal. And now we're singing about it. Why don't I pull you close? Because your version of the middle is like, it's like I'm 80%. Mike's got a bit doubles as a dog. who would eat Jack and Joe for an hors d'oeuvre blitz. Alright, we're supposed to be checking these headlines here. Why don't you meet me? It sounds so simple, doesn't it? She's losing her mind. Oh, wait a minute, you're a woman. I mean, you lost your mind. Alright, so we'll check news headlines here as we head towards the top of the hour. As I said, we're going to check on the new retirement system for everybody in the DOD. So we'll check on that. And then, the gunner is going to join us from his den in Granbury, Texas. That's right. It's all, just so everybody knows, it's all better in Texas. Yeah, they're a drunk bunch, but they're drunk on Texas. God love them. Anyway, the some interesting stuff in news today. One is that Bob Woodward, Bob Woodward is evidently going to write a book about Donald Trump. So, you know, when you're Bob Woodward, and the headline is Bob Woodward's new book puts readers face to face with Trump. First of all, when you have a name like Bob Woodward has, and you're renowned for what you did during Watergate, you're going to allow this financial opportunity to pass up? Come on. And Trump, he does his supply material. And if you have access to some people and stuff, forget about it, right? It's a pretty nice little payday for Bob Woodward. So anyway, Bob Woodward, he was on, he's on CNN now. I don't know, and this irritates me when they do this, but I don't. You can't play any video anywhere without getting the proverbial 15-second commercial about hand soap, hemorrhoid medicine, your latest skin rash, or anything like that. So we'll see if we can get the Woodward's audio to play. And should have known, right? Impossible. You know, and you years ago, you used to like have to watch it for like 3 seconds, and then there was a skip me button that got hit. Don't even have the skip me button anymore. Yeah. You're now listening whether you want to or not.
It's based on hundreds of hours of taped interview with firsthand sources. It's coming out just weeks before the midterm elections. Up front now, our special correspondent, Jamie Gangel, who has the details on Woodward, Joan Walsh, national affairs correspondent at The Nation, and Amy Kramer, co-founder.
I thought that was going to be Bob Woodward audio because that's whose picture was up. So, not to be. Anyway, Bob Woodward, though, little financial opportunity. So, we want to congratulate him on supporting the franchise. The another story making the rounds. Now, what is it? About every month, at least every month, there's rumors about General Kelly either fed up or leaving the White House or whatnot. But been there a year. So President Trump on Monday marked Chief of Staff John Kelly's one-year mark at the White House, which comes amid speculation that he soon could leave his post. Trump acknowledged Kelly's work anniversary during a swearing-in ceremony for new Veterans Secretary Robert Wilkie 1 year ago today, right, as he looked at Kelly, who was in attendance. He became my Chief of Staff, General Kelly. Kelly, in case anybody's never heard of him, John Kelly, The president later mentioned his top aide service on Twitter with a photo of the two men smiling and standing side by side. Yeah, General Kelly's book will be pretty interesting when he writes it. For a lot of different reasons. And I hope he does write one, because his perspective will be unique, because he's not a politician and serving in the Trump administration. So so you see a picture of President of the United States along with General Kelly. And with this, congratulations to General John Kelly. Today we celebrate his first full year as White House Chief of Staff. Everybody knows Kelly came as a part of as his move to Chief of Staff from the Department of Homeland Security. And he's weathered the storms of the White House. So continued fair winds and following seas to General Kelly in a job that, you know, one can only imagine the stuff that he sees that you know, the general public doesn't see. And the turmoil that you go through as somebody who's a principal and you know the truth. And you watch the drama unfold daily that is the stupidity of what we tend to call American politics. So so anyway, congratulations to John Kelly and all the best of luck to him. One other story at the national level that obviously bears some comment is a story that made the rounds yesterday. And that is a story about North Korea possibly constructing new intercontinental ballistic missiles. So, again, if you've listened to the Secretary of State talk about North Korea, actually if you listen to people talk about China last week on All Marine Radio out of the Aspen Security Forum, you saw that... or you've seen that our intelligence capability has increased by leaps and bounds relative to North Korea after we began to focus on them. So so it's kind of interesting to listen to those guys talk about our collection efforts and are they getting better, and are we confident that we can monitor what they do. So this is from yesterday. Satellite images appear to indicate North Korea is possibly building two ICBMs at the same facility where the country produced its first long-range missile, including the Hwasong-15, which have the capability of hitting the east coast of the United States, officials told the Washington Post Monday, on a condition of anonymity. So leaked from some intelligence to the Post. Quote, "We see them going to work just as before," one official told the newspaper. North Korea's intention was to deceive the U.S. by misconstruing the number of warheads as well as research facilities they have, while claiming they have fully denuclearized, the Post reported, citing intelligence. The article goes on, "While North Korea honored its promise to return the remains of fallen U.S. soldiers during the Korean War, there have been troubling reports that Pyongyang will never truly disarm." Reports earlier this month indicated that the Hermit Kingdom is building a nuclear-armed ballistic missile submarine, which came on the heels of CIA and other intelligence agencies telling NBC News that North Korea had increased its production of enriched uranium. So a submarine is problematic. Okay? A ballistic missile submarine is the second leg in a triad. Then it will be an air-launched, which is the third leg of a nuclear triad, which is what we have, what the Russians have, blah, blah, blah. So what's going to happen? You read stories like this, and doesn't make you feel good about it. So, again, the return of remains, is that just to put in the front window while we do other things? We shall see. All right, Marine Corps news. The RQ-7B Shadow will make its last flight for the Marine Corps. For those of us, it's better than nothing, but there's so many better options out there that it's kind of a little bit of a relic. So it's a small surveillance known as Shadow, made its last flight for the Marine Corps on Sunday at the Marine Air Station in Kaneohe Bay, Hawaii, according to Marine Corps officials. Quote, transitioning from the shadow is a major milestone, said Major Clayton Holland, the executive officer of BMU-3, said in a command release. Quote, we have certainly put this aircraft to work and learned a great deal from it. This is a historic moment for the squadron, the UAS community, and the Marine Corps and Marine Corps Aviation as well. The the fact that the Marine Corps is heavily invested in this technology. And again, I've talked about it before when we talk about drones. We wasted a lot of aircraft over Afghanistan, in Iraq, doing just combat ISR. We could have had those aircraft on strip alert, got them there relatively quickly, and not needed to burn them up the way we burned them up. So I think this move to the F-35, if you want them, those aircraft to last, for as long as you say they need to last, then drones need to be able to go up there, stay up there, and limit use of our aircraft for, you know, observation over the battlefield. So anyway, and the Marine Corps is trying to find its way through that. The Marine Corps is in the midst of a changeover to the RQ-21 Blackjack, another surveillance drone if you look it up. The biggest capability, though, that the Blackjack has is being launched from ships at sea. The Corps plans to equip the RQ-21 with the Intrepid 2 Tiger counter-radar capability, which would provide electronic warfare support to Marines downrange. So, anyway, but we talked about yesterday that the MUX, which is what the Marine Corps has named it, the drone that it wants, and it's a pretty robust drone. Congress gutted the funding to that. So we'll see what the Marine Corps has and is attempting to steer the Marine Corps to technology that already exists. A story we covered last year, and that was the deadly ambush in Niger. AFRICOM, General Waldhauser in AFRICOM, they've made changes over there. U.S. military in Africa has taken to increase the security of troops on the ground, adding armed drones and armored vehicles, and taking a harder look at when Americans go out with local troops. General Thomas Waldhauser, United States Marine Corps, told reporters, the U.S. has cut the response time needed for medical evacuations, the result of a broad review in the wake of last year's ambush in Niger that killed 4 U.S. soldiers and 4 of their Niger counterparts. Since that happened, there were significant things to change and learn, Waldhauser said. We've done a thorough scrub, really, on every level, whether it's at the tactical level or how we conduct business at AFRICOM. You know, I have this to say about that. Why did it take you 4 guys losing their lives before you did your job as the CG, which is apply the scrutiny that we know needs to be there when people are going out doing things and there's bad guys in the region? And who got held responsible for the deaths of those 4 soldiers? So it's great that we're applying the same standard in AFRICOM that we've been applying around the world now for a long time. Why wasn't it applied before this happened? Why aren't those guys still alive? I want to know that. So anyway, congratulations. Congratulations for unscrewing yourself. Next, Space Force, Space Corps, Space Guard, Space Command, whatever form it may take, do we really need it? You can imagine, again, the hysteria that this causes. Okay? All the dorks at peace. The Space Corps. Okay. Congress power on whether to create such a force. As of the most recent version of the National Defense Authorization Act, which grants money to things people want, Congress has tasked the Pentagon with creating a subordinate unified command to cover space that falls under the U.S. Strategic Command. But a Pentagon report due out next month will provide a closer look at the feasibility and perhaps need or lack thereof to create a separate space force. A Brookings Institute, run by John Allen, event held this week featured four experts on space policy, asking them the pros and the cons of creating a new military branch focused on space. See if there's audio that will work for All Marine Radio. And come on, you know we got to be like all over the Space Corps. Three out of four roundly dismissed the idea of a separate branch devoted to the space, while simultaneously stating that there needs to be a focus on space for training, planning, policy, and a host of other ideas, just not with a new, complete military service. Interesting. Because a lot of people like that idea. Designing uniforms, the new Space Corps badge, and all of that. F-16 demonstration pilot uses cockpit camera during an air show, and the results are stunning. Yeah, for all you aviation dorks, you might want to check this one out. The Air Combat Command F-16 Viper demonstration team put forth their usual brilliant performance last week when they flew at the 2018 Air Venture Show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. The team from Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina specializes in demonstrating the capabilities of the F-16 Fighting Falcon, one of the service's prized fighters. You know what? I mean, if the Air Force has the Thunderbirds, like, what do we need these guys for? Because they want to have a little team for their aircraft? Doesn't seem right to me. But anyway, evidently the video is good. So if you check it out, you can see these guys zooming around in their aircraft. So all you aviation dorks, Ohio man, this is straight up your alley. Next headline, lawmakers demand the Pentagon drops GI Bill transfer limits. Let me just tell you this. The GI Bill transfer put two of my kids through school for the most part. A bipartisan group of 83 House lawmakers is blasting a Defense Department plan to change the rules on troops transferring their GI Bill benefit, education benefits, to their dependents, calling it unfair and devastating for military morale. Unfair, yes. Devastating, probably not. Quote, once a service member meets the requirements for transferring post 9/11 GI Bill benefits to an eligible family member, we must uphold our end of the deal. The problem is too many people are using it now. It used to be an education benefit. You know, some enlisted, I want to say 20% it got used by. Then all of a sudden when you could transfer, that number went through the roof. So with every one of those things, think about possibly $40,000 a year, $60,000 a year, because a living stipend goes with that, gets tagged to the DOD. So that's not a small amount of money. I thought it was when I heard about it. I've told the story, but my mom told me about it. She read about it in the paper. I didn't know about it. Michael, do you know that you can give your GI Bill to your kids or to suit? I'm like, Mom, what are you talking about? Well, I read in the paper that you can give that away. I'm like, Mom, like, I think I would have heard about that. Well, you might just look in the news. Okay. All right, so I look it up. Bigger than shit. bigger than shit. I was like, what? Yeah. And sponsored by a Marine, Senator Jim Webb, formerly a Democrat from the state of Virginia. And it's an awesome benefit. Awesome benefit. You can give it to your kids. So one of your kids could be scholarship for 4 years, and that would include a living stipend. So if you're smart and you make your kid work at least part-time so they can pay their room and board, yeah, they're capable, trust me. And then you take the living stipend. You get 4 years of that. And my kids varied. One went to the University of Arizona and got $1,000 a month. One went to school at Cal State Fullerton and got about $2,200 a month. So think about that. So let's just say $1,500. $1,500 times 36 months. There's another year of scholarship money for you. Now, I don't know what that is off the top of my head, but because I'm smart, I got my calendar out. My calendar, how about my calculator? So 1500 times 36 months, so you get 9 months of tuition for 4 years. Okay, that's the deal. $54,000. That's another year of tuition for somebody, or another 2 years, depending on where you're going. So, yeah, make it work. Anyway, it's a great benefit. I'm sure it costs them, the DOD, a ton. So people that stay in long enough can go ahead and do it. So, you know, this is a cool story. From Marine to role model, a wounded warrior strikes a pose to benefit fellow veterans. Sergeant Christy Ennis was a door gunner and worked on mechanic frames. And went down in a CH-53 Delta helicopter in Helmand Province. She became an amputee. She has brain injuries. She suffered spine injuries when the helicopter went down, neck, shoulder, face, and leg. 40 surgeries later, and the leg amputated below the knee. She's now, she's featured, the article talks about her becoming a model for this calendar, and I think it's the one, Pinup for Vets, and we had their founder on, Elise is her first name, I can't remember her last name, but they do this calendar, and they sell it, and all the proceeds go to veterans program, so it's pretty cool, and so it's really cool, there's a lot of veterans in it. And she's an amputee. And so she talks about it. Quote, the first thing I thought about was, am I going to be able to run? And it was, can I wear a dress? She told Military Times. She goes on, am I going to be able to wear heels? Are people going to look at me differently? Am I still going to be attractive? It was really the self-esteem stuff that got to me. So 6 years after the event, she does essentially a photo shoot and wears heels and the whole nine yards. And what's important about it is I think wounded Marines and soldiers, they continue to knock down barriers to get created in our society. And a lot of times we say they're not there, but if you ask the people that go through those experiences, they say, oh, no, they're there. They're there. There is a there, as opposed to there is no there. Well, there's a there. So anyway, it's awesome to see these barriers get kicked down in such a public way. She's done all kinds of stuff, right? Scaling mountains and all kinds of really, really, really cool stuff. She goes on. It's really about playing it forward and hoping to be a role model for somebody else. It doesn't mean that she doesn't struggle with self-confidence, though. Despite nearly 87,000 Instagram followers, and after becoming the first veteran to grace not only the pages but the cover of the ESP, the body issue, wearing nothing more than a prosthetic leg and rock climbing shoes, she still struggles with confidence. So again, I made a note over the weekend to track her down and have her on All Marine Radio. So we'll see if we can we'll see if we can get her on. But she's competed in all kinds of different events now, physical events. And so mountain climbing being one of them. So I want to say she summited like 7 times around the world. Pretty cool. In 2016, she climbed the Karstenes Pyramid in Indonesia. In 2017, she became the first female above the knee amputee to summit Mount Kilimanjaro. All right. 2017, she summited Mount McKinley up in Alaska. Yeah. So, again, things that you don't do with two good legs, you see people doing with one. And I think it's just incredibly important to teach everybody a lesson that that hey, everybody just wants to be treated as a person and have a chance. Okay, so don't treat me any different just because I look a little bit different. All right, on to the top five stories in Early Bird, and then we're going to take a look at the blended retirement program. Number one story is a story about Najjar, AFRICOM tightening both medevac and having armed drones in the sky. And again, the question is, why did it take four soldiers being killed for that capability? That's the standard. Why was AFRICOM below standard? Number two, article we've already talked about, lawmakers demand Pentagon drop GI Bill transfer limits. Number three, we've already talked about, a Marine Corps role model, Sergeant Christy Ennis. So we're going to track Christy down and see if she'll come on All Marine Radio. Number four, Boeing's new F-15X may replace an aging fleet of F-15 Charlies and Delta. Yeah, why would the Air Force buy the F-15X when it could buy the F-35? The F-15X is that thing has an incredible record, both the F-15 and F-16 in combat around the world. I don't know that it's ever been shot down or lost. The Israelis have used it forever, and I don't think they've ever lost one. Pretty impressive record. The fifth story out of the top five is Russian jamming poses a growing threat to U.S. troops in Syria. You know, we've dealt with this with the Russians for a long time. So at some point, we'll create a counter-jamming device, and we'll go ahead and get away from their stuff. So, and again, jamming is not as easy as it sounds like, oh, they're going to jam us. Well, they have to get their jammer in position, okay? And then what they have to do is you can't do it all the time, because once you light it off, we've located you. And once we locate you, we can smoke you. So, but in the situation we find ourselves in, we're not at war. Okay. So you can't shoot it. So it's operation short of war. And then they're tracking you. You know, they're using their systems and they're jamming you and making your life difficult. So the sixth story is U.S. spy agencies, North Korea is working on new missiles. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. The report about, as I said, the ballistic submarine, pretty disturbing. The report on the missiles is equally disturbing. So hopefully we don't have to go back to what we were talking a year ago when we were talking about going to war. But we'll see. We shall see. There's one guy in control of all that. And he lives in North Korea. So we'll see. We'll see. And I would be remiss if I didn't recognize a friend of mine, actually two friends of mine, that did a change of command at Camp Pendleton here yesterday. They're both instructors together with me at the infantry officer course. Both captains at the time, Captain Jody Osterman and Captain Lube Craparata, now both lieutenant generals. Funny. So they executed the change of command, and they'll preside, actually, Lou outgoing, Jody incoming, commanding more than 50,000 Marines that compose the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. He's a great guy. He's a great guy. And so it's funny, right, to see them hand it off to each other, right? And the guy who was their boss now sits in the Oval Office. So, anyway, all the best of luck. Lou Craparata goes out to become, to lead FMF PAC. So he will preside over all the Marines in the Pacific, 1MF, 3MF. So he goes out to Hawaii. So all the best of luck to him. They're both great guys, smart guys, and wonderful guys to be around. So, yeah, small world stuff. And again, another, Mike and I are on our way to the change of the 2nd Marine Division, where another friend of ours, Dave Furness, will take over command of the 2nd Marine Division. So pretty exciting week. Pretty exciting week for friends of ours and for us too, to see them continuing to contribute to the country. So anyway, that is a look at the news. We'll take a break when we come back. We're going to talk about retirement systems. That's right. The military is changing retirement systems. We'll take a look at that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.